Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Is B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan.
Did you see Vic? Vic just hit a little. And they call that they call that the tighten up.
The tighten up?
Uh-huh. That's James Brown.
Vic, you got some moves back there?
Come on, man.
He said, I'm on TV. I can't.
Slicker than a can of oil is Vic Ferrer. That's why they call him Slick Vic Ferrer. He's slicker than a can of oil.
We will go out to Nationals Park. I don't know if there's any slick around Nationals
Park. The Curly W's.
The Curly Dubs.
Uh-huh.
Blake Butera going to be introduced in a matter of moments. We're going to check the Nationals' timeliness.
Yeah.
What we're going to do.
Well, they're on time. And if they're not, I get it. They're a bunch of young guys over there. I'm late sometimes too, people. I know we're going to get into Blake Butera when we let the folks hear, but you're are we ready now?
I'm getting the signal.
Well, damn, I was just about to start talking some Nats.
We are going to go to Nats Park. Blake Butera is set to speak in moments. We will let you hear it.
That they hired and that he signed the contract, so priorities here.
What came first?
Time to get ready.
What came first, the baby or the signing, the hiring? We got to find that out. That's a big thing today.
I was close. I heard it was very close between the two.
For Nationals fans, for baseball fans all around, Blake Butera, 33 years old, such a huge, huge day for the entire organization, as we said it to Dan Coco.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us here today. I'm Nationals broadcaster Dan Coco. And I'm honored to be here on yet another exciting day for this Nationals franchise. We've had a couple of these lately. I'd like to welcome everyone who's with us here at Nationals Park, as well as those watching on Nationals.com, Masson, and MLB Network. Earlier this month, Blake Butera was officially named the 8th manager in Washington Nationals history. The day before the announcement, Blake and his wife Caroline welcomed their first child, Blair. They say the birth of your child marks the best day of your life. Imagine finding out you're getting a big league managerial job that very same week. That'll do, huh? Needless to say, there's been a lot going on lately for the Butera family, and we're so glad to have all three of them here in Washington today for Blake's formal introduction. Joining Blake, Caroline, and Blair, I'd also like to extend a special welcome to several other members of Blake and Caroline's families. We're so happy to have you all here as part of the Nationals family. Congratulations. We're also joined today by several members of the Lerner, Cohen, and Tannenbaum families, as well as several Washington Nationals founding partners. And joining Blake at the dais is Nationals President of Baseball Operations, Paul Taboni. So, Paul, it's my pleasure to turn it over to you.
Thanks, Dan. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you all for being here. When we set out to find our manager, our goal was to find not only a great, ambitious baseball mind, but an even better person. We wanted someone whose character and values aligned with ours and whose experiences fit our organizational goals. As you've heard me say many times over the course of the last 6 weeks, I'm a strong believer that you win with people, and Blake's character and ability to connect with everyone across the baseball spectrum is second to none. I'm excited to welcome him, his wife Caroline, their baby Blair, and the rest of their family to Washington, D.C., and I look forward to executing our vision together. With that, I'd like to officially introduce you to the next manager of the Washington Nationals, Blake Butera.
You're listening to Blake Butera's introductory press conference live from Nationals Park right here on B. Mitch and Finley on 106.7 The Fan. You hear him right now. You can't see him. They're snapping away, taking pictures of Butera and his nice, nice new Nationals gear. So here is the manager, the new manager of the Washington Nationals.
Thank you, gentlemen. And Blake, now I'd like to turn it over to you.
Thank you. Paul, thanks for the great words. I'm incredibly honored, humbled, excited to be the next manager of the Washington Nationals. It was clear during this process that this organization, this city, are really special. This was somewhere my family and I immediately felt like we could make home. I want to thank the Lerner, Cohen, and Tannenbaum families as well, as well as Paul Taboni and the rest of the baseball ops group. From my very first conversations, it was evident that their values align with mine, that this is a place built around people, trust, and doing things the right way. I really enjoyed the process over the last few weeks of getting to know everybody in this entire organization. I know I wouldn't be sitting here today without the support of a lot of people. First and foremost, my wife Caroline and our baby Blair. Caroline knows how demanding this game can be and how much time we've spent away from each other during it, and I can't thank her enough, and I couldn't do this without her, so thank you. To my parents and siblings, my mom driving all of us around to all the games at different towns, and my dad coaching at least one of us at all times. Don't know how they did it, but just want to say thank you. To my siblings, you know, from the countless backyard games we played, wiffle ball and basketball and football that somehow never felt fair, thanks for continuing to challenge me, but also supporting me along the way. The fact that you're all here today on a Monday, a work day, with several kids leaving work and kids behind to be here is just another example of how supportive you've been every step along the way. So thank you. To my wife's family, who made the long drive up and back to make sure Blair could be here today for the special day, thank you. It means the world. I also want to take a moment to thank Eric Neander and the entire Tampa Bay Rays organization. I was there for 11 years and couldn't say thank you enough to them for what they've done for me and my growth and also our family. It's a special place. You'll hear me say the word culture a lot, and I don't want to use it lightly. The culture there is real. It's special. It's what makes that place great. And my family and I knew that if we were going to leave, it would have to be for somewhere that was special as well. And getting to know Paul, the ownership group here, as well as the rest of our baseball operations group, this place is on the way to building something special, and I felt that from day one. As we move forward, our identity is going to start with character. I believe true leadership is built on real relationships, relationships that create unity, clarity, and a shared purpose. And all that begins with accountability. For myself, for our staff, for every player that wears this Nationals jersey, we're going to hold each other to a standard every single day. We're going to be committed to our process and a daily standard of performance. That means focusing on improvement and excellence one day at a time, trusting that consistency is going to help us build something sustainable, not just for 1 year, but for several years ahead. We're going to be committed to our process. On the field, you can expect a team that plays with intent. We're going to be fundamentally strong. We're going to do things the right way. We're going to play the game the right way and handle all the small details. We want our fans to feel connected to the way we play and to take pride in the identity that we show every night. DC is an incredible sports city. It's passionate, it's knowledgeable, and they're hungry for a winner. We're in this together, and our commitment as a staff is to represent this city with pride. We want to play a brand of baseball that reflects the toughness, competitiveness, and the spirit of the people who support us. We're currently building an elite coaching staff. In my opinion, the best coaches are teachers, mentors, and leaders that are able to get the most out of every single player in this organization. We want to create an environment where every player feels challenged yet supported, and that's what we're building right now. I'm so excited to get to work. The group of players in this clubhouse are special. I've had the chance to get to know a lot of them over the past few weeks, and I've been blown away by their character and their hunger to be great. I can't wait for our fans to see how special this team's going to be, and we're going to do everything we can to make them proud. Thank you.
Thank you, Blake. All right, at this time, we'll take questions from the media. We have Mauricio and Claire on each side of the room with microphones, so please raise your hand. I'll mention the outlet you're from and your name, and we'll get started. Will Jessica first?
Hi, Blake. Just when you got the phone call and what you were thinking.
There was a lot that happened that day. first and foremost, I mean, my wife, she's a trooper. We had our first baby on the same day, had the chance to be named the manager of the Nationals the same day, of course, and it was a whirlwind, and I don't think it was anything that we could have planned or predicted, but it was also such a special day, and my parents were there as well, and we were very fortunate just to have our loved ones around us and be able to celebrate together.
Andrew?
You were a senior... You're the senior director of player development with the Rays. Did you always desire to want to get back into managing? How did you know that this was the right fit and the right opportunity for you?
Yeah, it's a good question. I obviously enjoyed my time managing with the Rays, and then when they brought this next opportunity up to me, it was something that was obviously on a broader spectrum with a lot more players, a lot more staff members to oversee. I think it was something that gave me a much better perspective of how to build an organization from the ground up and what goes into creating a winning culture, creating a winning team, creating a winning organization. I think when this next opportunity came about, I always loved being on the field. I loved the competition. I loved being with the guys every day. So this was a no-brainer.
Spencer?
Hey, Blake. Spencer Nussbaum from the Washington Post. Can you walk us through what the interview process looked like, if you expected to get a managerial job this season?
Yeah. To the second part of that question, I didn't have a timeline set on when I expected or wanted to be a manager by. To the first part, Eric Neander gave me a call. I think it was a Tuesday morning, and said that Paul asked to interview me or talk to me for the managing position. And it was a few weeks of a process, and I had a chance to talk with Paul. I've had a chance to talk with a lot of people in the ops group. And then it was kind of throughout that process where I realized that this was somewhere that I could see myself and my family based off of the values that they have, and they align with mine. And that was first and foremost most important to me and my family before the actual position. And with that, yeah, I think it was another thing that stood out to me was that instead of coming up here, one thing that was struck home for Caroline and myself was just that Paul did not want me to miss the birth of our first child. So he came to the city where we live in Raleigh, and that was just super special to us, the fact that he was able to put aside the traditional process of interviewing and wanted to make sure we put our family first.
Hey, Blake. Bobby Blanco, MassinSports.com. To piggyback off of the player development in minor leagues for a little bit with the Rays, what did your experience working in player development do to kind of enforce or maybe enhance your thought process as a manager?
Yeah, I think when you look at the whole player development process, right, there's a lot that goes into it, from the acquisition of players to creating plans for players to improve and what their timeline looks like to get to the major leagues. So I think just the whole broad and global outlook of a player's process and a player's journey kind of helped make it a little bit easier transitioning.
Chelsea. Manager Blake Butera from Nats Park. Really good stuff from him. I enjoy listening to him. You'll hear a little bit more from Grant and Danny. They are out there at the park, so they might get an opportunity to speak with him in a one-on-one fashion. It's B. Mitch and Finley with Denton Dale and Lynette Willingham sitting in for B. Mitch and Finley as they travel back from Spain. We've talked a lot of football today. Football Talk on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We wrap up the program before we send you back out to Nationals Park for Grant and Danny at 2 p.m. next on 106.7.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Live at Nationals Park today, it's Grant and Danny out and about and on the road, just down Half Street from our studios in the Navy Yard. You're locked in to the Fan, your flagship home for Nationals baseball. And the reason we journeyed down the street today was because of a very exciting afternoon for the Nationals. They introduced their brand-new skipper, Blake Butera, who was just on the dais talking to the media. I think he just did an MLB Network hit. You're making the rounds, and we're very pleased to welcome him onto our show on 106.7 The Fan right now. Blake, congratulations, and I don't know if we get to do this. You probably already had 100 people welcome you to D.C., but welcome to the district.
Welcome, man. Thank you. Thank you. No, excited to be here. Excited to sit down with both of you guys and get going.
Were you expecting to get interviews and to be a hot name in this cycle, or when you found out from Eric Neander that the Nats wanted to talk to you, were you a little bit surprised?
Yeah, a little bit. I think you're always surprised when a team calls on you. And I think, you know, just going through the process, it was evident to me just this is somewhere it's pretty special. And what Paul's trying to build and his vision here with ownership and everything is something that, you know, we felt really good about.
What was that vision as you're going through this process? Where, because a lot of fans are going, this all sounds fun, this is cool, but what should we expect and when should we expect it?
Yeah, I think, you know, just kind of talking through the – you know, the foundation he's trying to build in terms of the people that he's bringing in here. We already have a pretty exciting young roster, of course, with some young talent. And, you know, getting the chance to talk to a lot of them, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty cool to hear how hungry they are. And, you know, they're not really happy with the seasons they've had, even though some of them have some pretty impressive seasons at young ages. You know, they're excited to tap into some more and reach the next level.
Blake Butera managed for 4 years in the minors, playoffs four times, couple of championships, and then the Rays said, we need your help in another area, and they kind of brought you into the player development fold. Do you enjoy managing more, or could you have seen yourself go on the front office route? Did you always expect to get back to the bench at some point?
Yeah, I expected to, and I think, you know, a lot of people along the way, you know, kind of said that I was kind of at that point in my career where, you know, I could go front office or could go back to the manager route, and I definitely miss the competition and the being in the dugout every day with the guys and working through 162 games. And, you know, it's a long season and there's a lot of ups and downs. And I think, you know, just the fun you have with the guys day in and day out and seeing them kind of reach their potential was something that I missed.
Well, in terms of that grind of going through a minor league season with players whose ultimate goal is to not be there anymore, right? Like, as you're trying to build a team, build a roster, build a winning culture, if it goes well, you lose a lot of those guys. How did that kind of form your experience to be ready at the big league club where there's no higher level to get called up to?
Yeah, I think it goes back to just kind of making sure you set out the foundation you want and you create and instill the values that you want these players to have day in and day out. And it's all about consistency and making sure you're building something to where every day they put in the work, they put in the work, they put in the work, and they understand kind of where they're trying to get to and how they're going to get there. And I know the major leagues is the major leagues. There's no league above it or level above it. But, you know, we want to make sure that our players, and I told a lot of them on the phone, I was like, no matter what happens, our job is to make sure you guys, each of you can play another 10, 12 plus years in the major leagues, whether it's with us or somewhere else. We're going to try to get that out of you.
New Nats manager Blake Butera with us on Grant and Danny live from Nationals Park. He was just introduced today in a press conference, and you're locked in to your flagship home for the Nats, 106.7 The Fan. Stylistically, as a manager, does your player development background make you more of an instructor, like a coach in a sense, even at the big league level? Because when I see that someone's managed and worked in PD, I'm thinking, all right, well, maybe he's still going to dive in on the fundamentals and do a lot of coaching. Or now that you're at the big league level as a manager, does some of that go on other people's desk and you've got other roles? How does that work?
Yeah, I think there's a lot that goes into, you know, being a major league manager. And I think a lot of it, you know, whether it's media or interviews or different things where you're managing relationships with players in the clubhouse, I think you always want to be out on the field helping the players and, you know, hitting them ground balls and throwing BP and all those things. I think you look at it, I think I'm pretty sure every manager in the major leagues was once a coach prior to that and was, you know, a specific position coach. And yeah, I think it comes with the territory, right, where you know, your first and foremost, your responsibility is to manage this ball club and help you get wins. And, you know, if you have some time to get out on the field and help those guys, you can do so. But first, you got to take care of your job.
What's an element of manager going to be in charge of a ball club that came naturally to you? And what's something you really had to work at?
I think just empathizing with the players was one thing that kind of came naturally. I think it's because
you know how hard it is. Yeah.
Right. It's a hard game. It's a really hard game. There's a lot that goes on, especially nowadays with social media and the agents, and there's so much more that goes into it than just trying to go out there every night and compete. But with that, in terms of something I needed to get better at, is I think, you know, when you get thrown in this early, you realize pretty quickly that you do not have all the answers, right? And it's you know, you're constantly asking questions and gaining new perspectives and listening. And I think, you know, sometimes when you get into this, sometimes you want to jump in full speed. But first thing you need to do is just build those relationships and gain the trust.
How do you go about, in your experience, you know, really getting teams to play high IQ baseball, right? Not without looking too back far into the past. I mean, this has been a dreadful base running team. This has been just a bad defensive team in ways where it felt like the adjustments didn't come. You get picked off twice. You're just going right back out there. You're not getting benched. Maybe there's a talking to that we don't see. But you would think at some point something would change if people are being held accountable. What are the teams that don't do that do to avoid those things?
Yeah, I think first you have to make sure that the players understand what's important to you, right? If what's important to you is hitting a bunch of home runs and a bunch of doubles, then like that's what the players are going to feel is important. But if you make sure they understand, like, hey, we're going to run the bases right, we're going to play defense the right way, we're going to control the controllables. I think every player wants to go out there and go 3-for-4 every night, but it's not possible. But one thing you can't control is how you play the game and how you run hard down the line. And then there are going to be mistakes that are going to happen. I think we're naive to think that there aren't going to be, but what's going to happen after those mistakes? We're going to sit down, we're going to review those things and kind of talk through, like, hey, this is what you did, this is what we can do better next time, and then we're going to learn from it and grow.
I'm thinking, you know, football, we watched all day yesterday, we think of penalties or something. There are some that maybe coaches get less angry about because there are these physical things that happen, as you said, where you're giving it 100%, you're making a mistake at a million miles an hour as opposed to a procedural thing where you jumped off sides or whatever. Is there something like that in baseball where there are things you can live with and others where you go, hey, this is just a philosophy thing that we're not going to tolerate?
Yeah, I think one of my big things is, like, always have a reason for why you did what you did. You know, and it's like if somebody goes first to third in a spot where, you know, they come in, you ask them, hey, why'd you go first to third and you got thrown out? It's, you know, hey, you know, it's a tie game. I thought the right fielder, you know, didn't have a good arm. You know, I thought I had a good secondary. Like, if there's a good reason behind why they did it, like, we can live with that. You're being aggressive. You're taking a shot.
New Nets manager Blake Butera with us here on Grant and Danny. You may have heard that you're 33 years old. Does that come up at all?
No, it's the first time. I didn't realize.
I know. So, the shtick aside, like, how do you put that to bed? Where, like, you know, some you know, radio guest you're talking to is like, hey, this is the new guy. Look, is he holding up the drink yet? You're going to hear crap like that, right? Mm-hmm. How do you put that sort of thing to bed in terms of your presence, in terms of your, you know, commanding authority and owning that role? How do you make that not a talking point for anybody anymore?
I think I've had a lot of practice at it, right? I think I've been in a lot of different roles where, you know, since I started managing when I was 24, 25 years old, like, that was a talking point then. And then, you know, you just kind of learn to, like, hey, it's a talking point. And at the end of the day, can you get the job done, and can you do the job to the best of your ability no matter what your age is? Like, and let the work kind of take care of itself.
Do you get any motivation from it, or kind of a chip on your shoulder? Like, the idea that there's going to be these old guard managers are like, oh, come on, 33 years old, already a manager from player development? Like, do you care about any of that noise and use it as fuel, or it's not interesting to you?
No, I mean, I definitely respect the path that all the different managers and people in leadership positions have had to get to where they are today. But I think just the conversations that I've had with a lot of managers throughout the league already, I think they're excited for me. And I think they know kind of my background and kind of what I'm about and the relationships I already have with a lot of players and coaches and managers throughout the league that, you know, I think some of, you know, the preparation and the way you go about your business hopefully speaks for itself. But, yeah, I mean, you have to earn the respect of others.
So I've talked to Paul about this, but I want to get your perspective on it too. Have you ever seen The Dark Knight Rises?
Yes.
The movie, right? So
he just wants to talk about the movie. There's no baseball question.
No, it's just a movie question. No.
Did you think it was as good as The Dark Knight, and where did Batman Begins
come in? Where does it rank for you? No, so you remember there's a scene where they're fighting, Batman and Bane are fighting in that aqueduct or whatever, right? And Batman turns out the lights, and he's like, the darkness is your ally. I was born in it. You're born and raised in this era of barrel percentages and analytics and exit velocities and things. Like, I've tried to adopt it as an older person, right, where it's like, I hit 320, that's good. But, like, you've been raised in this, whereas other people have had to adapt on the fly. Do you feel like that gives you kind of an advantage in these sorts of conversations, trying to talk to some of these younger players that have come up in this era of driveline and tread this and that, and the other thing, where they understand how to rotate their scapula on a certain delivery, whereas the rest of us are like, it feels good when I barrel, right? You know what I mean? Like, you were raised in this environment. Do you feel like that gives you maybe a leg up?
Yeah, I think first, that was a really good impersonation.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Definitely not your first time doing that. It definitely helped. But I think just along the lines of kind of anything, you know, any profession, it's like you have to constantly grow and continue to kind of evolve with the times, right? And things are always changing. And players today are as smart as they've ever been. And they go to these different, you know, private facilities and different areas, and they learn the spin rate, and they work on, you know, pitch shapes and pitch design and hitters with their exit velocity and, you know, just all the different metrics you want to talk about. I think it's important just to understand a lot of that stuff. I don't think you need to have a full comprehension of every piece of information, but just to make sure the players understand that you know what you're talking about when it comes to that, but then also hiring people around you that are, you know, really, really good at that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just to make sure the players understand, like, hey, we're buttoned up and we're here to help, and we can definitely help you get better.
It doesn't matter how many jobs you've had or what your experience is. Your bench coach is always going to be maybe as big a hire as you're going to make. How did you decide on Michael Johns, and tell us about your right-hand man to be here?
Yeah, MJ is somebody that I looked up to and had a chance to work for with the Rays. You know, he has a pretty extensive background in terms of managing in the Rays minor league system. He oversaw their player development system as their field coordinator for a handful of years when we were, you know, producing a lot of pretty impressive talent at the major league level. Then he's been in the major leagues with them the last couple of years, and has really helped Cashy in the dugout every night, just watching their relationship and how much he's leaned on MJ. And he's someone that he cares immensely about every single player in the organization, and he's someone that's going to pour his absolute, you know, everything into helping everyone get to their potential, and someone that I can trust.
And then similar question with new pitching coach Simon Matthews. How well did you know him before, and what is your background with him?
Yeah, Simon was somebody that, you know, I think Paul has a pretty good history with, and I had the chance to interview him, and, you know, I was blown away right away. You know, just how educated he is and how smart he is in terms of the metrics and the analytics and the data and the things that we talk about. And obviously coming from Driveline and a lot of facilities where he's familiar with a lot of pitchers that we currently have that have trained at some of these places. And then obviously being an assistant pitching coach for the Reds last year, I had a chance to talk with Terry Francona about Simon, and he raved about him. And that's someone that's obviously managed a long time in the big leagues and has had a lot of pitching coaches. And the fact that he couldn't tell me one negative thing about Simon just spoke volumes.
Give me, if you wouldn't mind, your philosophy on what a pitching coach's job is and what a hitting coach's job is. A lot of times, you know, if a player's in a slump, goes 0-for-12, the fans are like, fire the hitting coach. I mean, just it's one of those, you know, almost no-win jobs at certain points, right? Kind of same with the pitching coach. What's your philosophy on how you want certain things implemented and what their roles actually are?
Yeah, pitching coach and hitting coach are some of the hardest jobs 100%. In sports right now. I think for me, what's most important is just making sure that their processes are down pat, that we have a strong process in place for how we're going to, one, help our hitters and pitchers get better when we talk about pregame work and making sure their development is improving. And then secondly, you know, making sure that our pitchers and our hitters are prepared every night. You know, one thing I can't live with is that if our hitter is going up against a pitcher and they don't really know kind of how to prepare against that guy, and they're not prepared when they get in the box, you know, and whether the hitter executes his plan when he gets in there, that's up to the hitter. But the hitting coach, and same with the pitching coach, needs to make sure that they, you know, equip them with everything they need to prior to stepping between the lines.
What kind of gait are we going to have walking out to the mound? We go hand in the back pocket. I didn't get to watch the tape from the minor leagues at all. Like, what's your strut like going out there? Do you ever jog out there, or how does it work?
Depends how cold it is, right? I think opening days in Wrigley in March.
Yeah. Might have to get out there quick.
Are you, if you're taking the ball from a guy, is it that one clap, you know, with then the handshake, or you clap at all?
These are the things you got to do in front of the mirror and just like.
Right.
Like, who am I?
But does it depend on how their performance was?
I'm asking you.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Good question.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, and what if, like, Max Scherzer's not here anymore, luckily. Thank God that you don't have to take the ball from him.
From
like,
wild animal.
What if there is a veteran and he doesn't want to come off the mound, but you've got to take the ball, and then what happens?
Yeah, that's the way it goes. I think, you know, it's not easy, right? You want guys that don't want to give you the ball. You want the competitors. You want the guys that want to pitch nine every time they go out there. But
I'm a Buck Showalter hand in the back pocket guy. That's kind of always been my thing.
Now, it's the days of the manager sit are kind of over. It's now pretty much requisite top step. For the most part, but did you have a managerial sit, you know, like you're just so 80% on one side hip?
I know what you're talking about.
Sunflower seeds or skull. Yeah, right? You have that?
That's like the old guy at the park.
Yeah.
Do you like cross legs or just kind of how would you think?
I've never sat. I've always stood.
You're always a stand guy.
I'm always a stand guy.
Hoodie or full uniform? Jacket? Like if it's cold out.
If it's cold, I'll wear a jacket, but I like to wear a uniform.
Uniform guy.
Okay. Hoodie could be a good look, too, I think.
Depends if we're winning, too. Like,
whatever it is.
Superstitious.
Mix it up. You like the Bane impression. That's good. We actually have prepared for you Charles Barkley wanted to congratulate you on your managerial performance.
Okay, this a congratulatory to Blake Butterer. He went to Boston College, Kenny. That's a school in Boston. Not a lot of people understand that, but they used to be really good at basketball. Not so much no more. No disrespect to Blake Butterer, but it's very exciting for him to be coaching.
I thought it was weird that John Gruden was really happy for him.
Tell you something, man. We're going to talk to Blake Butera, man. This is an exciting football player here. Probably the best football player the Nationals have ever had. So
why was Stephen A. Smith so happy?
Well, we got to talk about this here, okay? Because it's disrespectful. It's cantankerous. It's esophageal in terms of the ridiculousness of the situation right now.
Well, the good thing about being in D.C. is that Barack Obama was very happy for you.
To be clear, this is one of the two youngest people I've ever met. Sasha 1, Malia 2, and Blake Butera 3.
And then Donald Trump was actually thrilled. He's been busy lately. But
this is one of the great hirings. I've had so many people are saying it. It's a terrific hire. I was told. They asked me, and I said, he's very good. He's very strong. He was in, I forget where he was. But he's a very good hire. And many people don't give me credit, but I advised all the people to hire Blake Butera, believe
wow.
me.
Anyway, Blake, we're happy That's that you're lot, here. Man. We're fired up, man. Seriously, though. We're really, really excited about the new direction of the team. You used the word driveline today. If someone said that a year ago, all the glass in this building broke. So it's pretty cool, man. Thank you so much for hopping on, and best of luck to you.
We're pumped, brother. Thank you.
Fired Absolutely.
Up. Thanks.
New manager of the Nationals. He's been busy forming his staff. They got some more decisions to make. Blake Butera is with us. You'll hear from Paul Toboni coming up at 5 o'clock live from Nats Park.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Huge day for the Washington Nationals, and that is why we're over at Nationals Park on Grant and Danny on The Fan, and we're joined now by the president of baseball operations of the Nats, Paul Toboni, on what is really his first big significant press conference day as the big boss, where you get to introduce one of your hires, Blake Butera, your brand new manager's introductory press conference today. I know an exciting day for the organization. Why was Blake the right guy for the job in your mind?
Yeah, super exciting day for the organization. And why was he the right guy? You know, I think it all starts with the type of person he is. You know, he fits exactly what we want from a values perspective. But then the leader, he's just a great leader. He's got an uncanny ability to relate to folks of all different backgrounds, and then also like he's just his baseball mind. Like I'm a huge fan of, and I think he's really going to be able to do a lot to push our whole group, but particularly our young player group forward.
What were your questions maybe about him as you're getting to go through this process that he was able to answer and say, you know what, he is the right guy?
Well, it was a little bit of a unconventional hire, right? Like given his age and the fact that he's hopping from a front office in his most recent position, right? So for starters, it's like, hey, are we absolutely sure that this guy wants to be back on the field? You know, like the 162-game season, like it's a lot.
Yep.
And you got to really, really love it and want to be there. And so I think it started there. But then, too, like you start thinking like, okay, he's done this on the minor league side, but are we going to gain a level of confidence that he can do a really good job creating the environment that we want in a major league clubhouse? And every step along the way, Blake just did a great, great job kind of delivering on those thoughts or questions that we had.
When you do a search like this, is every manager that you interview like a legit possibility at the beginning in your mind where you are open to being wowed and saying, this is my guy? Or do you go in with a couple guys that you're really hoping impress and he's one of them? How does that work?
No, I think we want to cast a wide net, right? But at the same time, we don't just want to, ask permission to interview folks that, like, don't have a real shot just because the whole process takes up so much time, right? Because, you know, it's not just the one-on-one interviews with the candidates, but it's all the reference checks you have to do in the background and all that. And it just eats up a lot of your time in a really busy window of the year. So, no, we go into it like, hey, everyone's got a fair shot here, a really good shot, hopefully. And but then there are always a couple that strike you as like, hey, this would be a really interesting person to consider in this role.
The reason I ask is I wonder if with Blake specifically, if you were impressed and kind of you go from this is someone who's eventually going to be a manager we should talk to see if there's a place in the organization to like, wow, he might be the right guy. You talked about how uncharacteristic it is for someone who is 33 years old and hasn't coached at the big league level and has been in the PD side of things. So did you go in the first time you sit down with him knowing he was very possibly going to be the guy? And talk about your experiences previously with him, if you would, as well.
Yeah, you know, I think I went into it just more than anything wanting to learn about him, you know what I mean? Just because I hadn't had much interaction with him, right? But then the more I just connected with folks that know Blake throughout the game, that I have great relationships with, the feedback on him was just so darn positive and consistent. And that's not always the case when you do these checks on some of these managerial candidates, you know. So that's what, like, man, I went into the first interview like, hey, this guy I think is going to have a real shot just because of how consistently great this feedback has been on him. And I came to find out independently, like I arrived at a lot of the same conclusions myself.
So I'm about a decade older than you. And when I would tell my friends about what was going on with me in baseball, it would start with, I hit 470 last summer. Guys your age and a little bit younger were like, dude, I'm averaging 91 barrel exit velocity at this one facility that does it. This is a young person that was molded and raised in that, whereas guys like me have had to adapt to some of the new, I call it newfangled, that's such an old man phrase, but sort of the newer ideologies, the newer things that we're tracking and that we care about, maybe more so than the old way. Was that kind of a guiding post for you? Was not someone that had to learn this new language, but that has lived it and is kind of molding it as you guys are establishing this organizational philosophy?
Yeah, you know, like it's not something that we select on, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. At the same time, like this is just like Blake, and not even as it relates to like advanced metrics or anything like that. Like Blake, it's, hey, you can take the scout from the Dominican Republic that has been in the game for 50 years, or you can take the front office analyst that has been with the Washington Nationals for 6 months, and he's going to have a really easy time connecting with both those people, right? And so regardless of, you know, what the conversation topic is, it's he's just got a really a great presence about him because he's so genuine, man. He's just a really genuine, great dude that loves the game and I think loves building relationships, which I think is an important thing in this role.
Paul Taboni, the president of baseball operations with the Nationals, joining us on Grant and Danny. Blake Butera introduced as their brand new skipper. Specific to the staff, after you hire him, everybody kind of assumed, all right, he's going to hire some longtime former grizzled veteran to sit next to him on the bench. I remember having conversations with Sean McVay, who I covered here in D.C., when he went out to coach the Rams. And when he was interviewing with L.A. and with San Francisco, he was a package deal with Wade Phillips. Because you're hiring this 30-year-old head coach, Wade Phillips, who was 74, was going with him. And he felt that was important. You guys didn't necessarily make that hire. You're bringing in a bench coach who was a first base coach for the Rays the last couple of years. And, you know, somebody who has an opportunity to also kind of cut his teeth in this pretty significant big league role. Take me inside the thinking on that. I think everyone was kind of maybe expecting wrong, that there was this former big league manager that's going to sit next to him and help him.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you want someone that's going to complement Blake's skill and experience as well, right? Like, however that looks, right? Like, my assumption is that when Sean McVay was talking about Wade Phillips like that, right, he really thought that whatever experiences Sean McVay maybe didn't have, right, like Wade was going to be able to fill in those gaps. We view it the same exact way, except we just – Michael Johns was that guy that can fill in kind of Blake's whatever voids that he might have. Now, Michael has never been a big league manager, but I think he has a lot of the attributes that you'd want in someone that fills that role, right? We also wanted someone – I think Sean would say this about Wade. Like, you want someone with staying power, right? Like, the last thing you want to do is – bring on someone because he's been this, you know, grizzled vet and managed a ton of games, whatever. But then you look up 2 or 3 years down the line, you're like, gosh, I'm not sure this person is complimenting me or challenging me the way that I need. Right. And so we're confident that both those boxes can be checked with MJ, where it's like, hey, he's going to complement Blake very well in the near term, but also the long term. And in other words, he has that staying power that I'm talking about.
Did you know Michael Johns well, like personally before this, or is he another guy that you found out about throughout the process?
Similar deal, where I had heard his name a decent amount, but Blake and MJ obviously had a pre-existing relationship and had heard awesome things about him, and I'm really fortunate to have the opportunity to work alongside him.
Two sides of the same coin here. From day one, when, you know, you guys get together, pitchers and catchers, spring training, etc., what will be something that Blake, in your mind, will be able to have a strength of his kind of day one that you never have to worry about that? And number two, the other side of it is, what do you think a great challenge will be for him as he kind of gets his feet wet in this role?
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, like, what he'll be able to do is create an environment in the clubhouse where standards and expectations are really clear to the whole group, right? And then I think we're in the middle of doing it, but we're staffing out with folks that are also going to kind of provide horsepower there, where they're able to, hey, like, it's our jobs too to hold these guys accountable to the standard that we're setting, right? But I think what Blake will be most skilled at is ultimately getting the players to realize that it's on them, right? And like, the environment and the culture that they want to create in the clubhouse, like, ultimately it's on them to really carry that out. And then to the latter half of your question, you know, Blake has never managed a big league game before, right? So, like, he's going to get into Nationals Park or wherever, and, you know, there's going to be the third deck, all the cliches you hear, and things might move a little bit quick early, and that's okay. Like, the message I keep sending him is be aggressive, and we're going to be fine, and he's going to have a lot of support from his staff that I think will really, yeah, aid him in those areas, which is obviously a goal as we continue to fill out this Major League staff.
You mentioned filling out the Major League staff, your front office staff as well. Last time we talked to you, that was just in its infancy, where I don't think you're done yet by any stretch of the imagination. Kind of give us an update there. How comfortable are you? Where is everything now? Kind of state of the union.
Yeah, you know, I think here in the next week or two, we'll have our whole Major League staff filled out, which is quite honestly earlier than I thought it would happen, which is a great thing. Front office staff, we've brought in a number of key contributors in, you know, Devin Pearson and Justin Horowitz and Andrew Wright and these folks. But we're still continuing to look to add. And not just those departments, too, but, you know, whether it's player development or R&D or, you know, the acquisitions groups, like, we're gonna be aggressive in those areas as well.
Want to get back to the coaching staff with Paul Toboni, the president of baseball ops for the Nats, in a moment as it's being filled out. Still some roles, but you do have a pitching coach in Simon Matthews, who at one point in time worked over at Driveline, has been with the Reds very recently, just 30 years old, kind of a rising star in the pitching coaching community. And I don't think Driveline's ever been mentioned at a press conference in this ballpark until today. So that is a nice word that is no longer scary around these parts. But Tell me about Simon Matthews and why he's the guy.
Yeah, once again, not to be redundant here, but I think it circles back to the person, at least at the start, right? Like, unbelievable ability to connect with pitchers of all different backgrounds, people of all different backgrounds, right? Fully bilingual. He's a forward-thinking pitching coach where, I think he's able to really see some of the traditional parts of the game and how they can be folded into making players better, but then he's also very skilled technically in hey, like, what are the ways to really get guys to improve their stuff or their velocity or their ability to throw strikes or whatever it might be, right? So balancing those two things, I think he does an exceptional job of. And even though he's young and maybe short of a little experience at the major league level, we're really, really excited about the hire. And once again, I think when you go through like the calls, the reference checks around the league, like the grizzled veteran managers that you speak of, like, absolutely love this guy, and they love him because they got a level of respect for him, how much he works, how good he is at getting players better, that I think ultimately wins at the end of the day.
Do you expect Sean Doolittle to still have a role?
So Sean is going to be back on staff,
That's awesome.
We're really excited about it. Simon and Sean actually coincidentally have a very strong pre-existing relationship, and his title, Sean's title, is TBD, but he's going to be in a really impactful role. And
pitching scientist slash librarian,
something like that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
book recommender.
Yeah, Capitol Hill food expert.
Well, in texting with just a couple of the pitchers that are still on the roster right now, like, the one thing they all said at the end of the year was they really hoped Doolittle would be retained. And so that, I think that carryover could be beneficial in the clubhouse. Guys really liked working with him.
Yeah, and to me that speaks of two things. Like, one, Sean's ability to create relationships with players, right? But then two, his ability to challenge players and get players better, right? Because, like, ultimately, like, players want to be around coaches that they are confident can get them better, right? And I think our pitchers on staff view Sean that way, which is great. We obviously view him the same way, and we're excited to have him back.
Paul, what is and as you guys, I'm sure, when you're going through this managerial hiring process, you talk about your vision for what kind of player you like. Obviously, it's easy to say, give me a dude that, you know, it's 380 with 50 homers. I mean, that's obviously elementary. But in terms of the day-to-day, the grind, what is a player that you guys have that shared vision for what kind of team you want to be? What does that player look like to you?
I think it starts with players that hold themselves accountable, right? Like, mm-hmm. whatever the standard is in the clubhouse, like, we want folks that live up to that standard, right? And how they show up every day, how they go about their work, how they play the game, right? But then, too, I think if we're really clicking, I had a conversation with Dylan Cruz about this. Like, it's not just about holding yourself accountable. It's like, hey, if there is another player in the group that is not living up to the standard, like, that player should know, right? And he should hear it. And ideally, he's learning it himself. But it's also on the onus of everyone else on in the player group to really hold the line strong on the standard that we're creating.
Grant and Danny, Nats Park, talking to President of Baseball Ops, Paul Toboni. So on that front, like, let's say I'm on the roster now. How many strikes do I get, or how does that work? In other words, like, if I'm not living up to that standard, consequence time, holding guys accountable, it's easier to say than it is to do, right? When we're talking about grown men who are professionals, how does that application process
last
work?
Last year, just so you know, the number was unlimited. Unlimited strikes, generally speaking.
All the strikes. You could take a whole bunch.
Keep getting picked off, no problems.
You're talking about, like, on-field play or actually?
Anywhere. Anything, anywhere. So, in other words, we'll pick on me because I didn't have a good makeup. But that was the lowest grade possible in my scouting report. I'm not living up to the standard. What happens to me?
Yeah, well, I think so much of it is context dependent, right? Like, if and Blake should speak to this, because at the end of the day, this is what Blake is trying to foster as a major league manager, right? But, like, if a guy doesn't run a ground ball out, right, like, hey, it's probably a conversation, right? But then the expectations are set out super clear. Like, hey, going forward, like, this is what we expect, right? If it's working great, right, everyone on the team understands it, right? And so if the next day that player does not run a ground ball out the way that they should, right, like, it's probably not even Blake who's having the conversation, right? It's, like, one of the outfielders or the shortstop or whoever coming over to the player and saying, like, hey, man, like, this is what we're about as a group. This is how we have to lock it in. That is, I think, what it should look like, right? But as I hear myself talking about that, like, what I think the best teams do and what it should really look like is, like, we don't even get to that spot,
right?
Because the expectations are laid out so clear, and that the standard is really obvious to everyone involved.
Is that harder to pull off with a really young team? Like, part of the problem for me the last couple of years, there weren't that many dudes with pelt on the wall that come over, and maybe Dylan Cruz in year one in the big leagues when he's trying to find his way and still trying to hit and all these things doesn't feel comfortable doing that. How do you do that if you're super young with a lot of guys learning at the same time?
Yeah, I think just more attention probably has to be paid to it, right? Like, I don't want to speak for Ryan Zimmerman, but my guess is that Zim, towards the end of his career, like maybe even towards the start of his career, but towards the end of his career, like these things didn't have to be mentioned to Zim. Zim just got them, and he was going to do them, right? Like, I can't say that that is going to be the case for all of our players on our Major League roster, right? But what we can do is really put the onus on ourselves to make it exceptionally clear what those standards are, right? And then, like I said, we can hold them accountable to it.
Last one for me, for Paul Toboni, the president of baseball ops, on a day where he's introducing his first hire now as a manager of the Washington Nationals and Blake Butera. Curious about just the, you know, moving forward here, kind of the age of the staff and experience of the staff, and if that in any way educates us on the way you're moving with personnel. Do you view the idea of this really young, high-energy group as they'll be perfect for a build with a lot of kids? Or could you still go out and be veteran-intensive and try to be a wild-card team this year hiring this staff? Or did you think about that with the hirings?
I don't even think about the age of our staff, right? Like, I think about it as it relates to players, right? Like, not a ton of people, in my opinion, like, talk about Juan Soto's age or whoever's age, right? They just say, like, hey, if this guy can go play and produce, like, he can play and produce, right? And to me, I think about the staff the same exact way. Like, if these folks are really, really good at their jobs, like, let's forget about, you know, or not even think about what their age is. Like, let's focus our attention on how much better they can get our players and how well we can prepare and how good we are going to be at deploying our players, that sort of thing.
Paul, it's a pleasure, man. Enjoy today, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Look sharp,
appreciate
by the
it.
Way.
Yeah, thanks.
I don't know. Are you going to be a suit and tie guy a bunch at the ballpark, or is this rare?
Not really my style,
okay.
But
well, you wouldn't
this occasion,
know it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah. It's
a well-cut suit right there.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Good news is I asked the cluster buster, Chris Kynard, to go check out Jeff's fit, and I think CK's as confused as the rest of us. More importantly, though, the Nats...
Style, though. It's fashion.
Nats made a big move yesterday. I believe we're going to be talking to Mark Zuckerman here any minute.
Are we talking to Zuck?
I want the Nats to be good again.
Yeah.
You know, I don't
I want
think
all
that's...
the damn teams in town to be good.
I fear...
What a plan
this
for
in the
finals
year,
and
this
playoffs.
Isn't the year for it, B.
I don't know, man. The Spirit got in the finals.
Spirit's in the finals.
Give them some love.
Saturday at 3 o'clock.
Hell yeah.
Should try to get a...
In Cali.
I know. I almost
They're
did
already gone.
I like that.
They're already there.
Did Maya go?
Nah.
She stays here. Okay.
She had on a little sweater this morning. I was like...
I thought about wearing my jersey.
I was like, what's up with Dad? She's like, Dad. You can't fit this. Well, you can order me one.
The Spirit
was hot.
The Spirit are undeniably the best team in town.
Let me represent the Spirit.
Yeah. Uh-oh, B's taking it all off here.
Taking my shirt, take my clothes off like Jeff.
Should just wear overalls.
There we go.
That's a dope T-shirt.
Spirit, yeah.
B is repping the Spirit. Spirit play Saturday. Undeniably the best team in town.
Yeah, you know, got to represent, baby.
Caps have a big one tonight. Connor McDavid in town. Caps need some wins, man. I know it's early in the season, but Caps need some wins. Spirit games.
I think I was watching a game that was a replay last night.
They didn't play last night.
Yeah, so it was a replay. I came back from playing the indoor golf thing, and I was sitting there. And I just flipping through. I said, "You know, I want to watch something different." So I just saw the Caps. I started watching it, and I remember they said OV did score, and he was right in front of the net. And yeah, that was. Now I remember it was a replay.
Yeah. Indeed.
But I fell asleep on it anyway.
All right. Right now, though, it's time to get caught up on all the moves the Washington Nationals have made. We got a new young manager in town helping us make sense of everything is our friend, Mr. Mark Zuckerman from Masson Sports. Zuck, how you doing, dude?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, how you feeling, Mark?
I'm feeling fine. How are you guys after the jaunt across the Atlantic?
I feel
fine much
now.
Better now. I tell you, going there though, Mark, is hell.
Yeah.
Coming back was a lot better. But you know, hey.
It rocks you on the way there. But I was bummed to miss the introduction of Blake Butera, the Nats' new manager. I mean, they have gone young. You got a really young new baseball boss in Toboni, and now you've got a really young manager in Butera. I gotta tell you, Zuck, the picture that was on the Masson Sports website of Butera with the hat on. He looks like he's 15, dude. How was the intro presser?
There's a little bit of a shock when you first kind of see him, and I'll admit, standing next to him when I met him, he's shorter than me, and that's not something I can say about a lot of people that I deal with in the professional sports world. Now, that doesn't mean anything, of course, but I think under the circumstances, I think he handled it really well. This is somebody who has never been in any kind of situation like this before, didn't play in the big leagues, didn't manage or anywhere close to the big leagues, was never got higher than single A. They worked for the Tampa Bay Rays and dealt with their big league staff. But I actually asked him in our one-on-one afterwards if he's ever been in a major league dugout before, and he thought about it for a second and said, no, I haven't. So, I mean, this is a big deal and a big leap for him. But I think, based on the first impression, I thought he handled it really well, came across confidently. He of course was asked a lot about his age and the lack of experience, and I think he had good answers for it all, which is essentially to say age is just a number and experience can come in a lot of different forms. And while no, he hasn't been in the big leagues before, he has worked with a ton of good professional ball players who went on to become big time big leaguers. And he's got to earn everyone's respect and show them from the start that he is to be taken seriously. But I think once he gets over that hurdle, he feels like, and the organization feels like, he's going to get his message across and they're going to come to respect him.
Well, I guess, if you have any level of experience in managing people, that's probably all you need. They got a bunch of older people that rolled in here and had ton of experience, and they didn't get it done. So
Have you seen how young my man looks?
I saw it, look, how young he looks. But I think it's gotten to a point in this day and age where the fact that analytics are so involved with sports,
especially baseball,
you have to be able to do that better than the other, because you can hire somebody to handle the other stuff. I've watched in all facets of professional sports, the head coach always hires somebody that's bad as hell below him that can run things for him. And if he could just get the right people in place, hell, that's all that needs to happen.
Yeah, and I think that's why the makeup of his coaching staff, and they're still in the process of that. They've hired about half of the coaches, I think, so far. I think that's as big of a deal as the rest. And what you've seen so far there, his bench coach, his right-hand man, is a guy named Michael Johns, who is 50 years old, who was the Rays' first base coach for several years and then worked in their minor league system. So they know each other well, working in Tampa Bay, but he is more experienced, has been on a big league staff before. So that, I think, helps. But he's also not, wedded to just hiring older, more experienced coaches. His pitching coach, who we're going to talk to later today, the guy named Simon Matthews, he's only 30.
Okay.
He does have big league experience with the Cincinnati Reds as an assistant pitching coach for them. A great pitcher at Georgetown, coincidentally, like one of the best pitchers in Georgetown Hoya history. I don't know that they have a lot of baseball history there, but he is one of their better ones. They're bringing Sean Doolittle back in a still-to-be-determined role. So I'm interested to see what the rest of the staff looks like, but I thought it was interesting that he mentioned, yes, you want to have some experience, you want to fill the gaps that he doesn't have himself, but again, it doesn't mean you have to be older.
Right. Yeah.
Experience can come in a lot of different ways and a lot of different forms.
See, I always felt when you hire a coach, and no matter if that coach has experience or not, you got to support him. Like, you got to be able to put the right people around them, and then things can work. Too many times people hire a manager and then they want them to just run everything. If you don't have that experience running everything, you can run into a problem. But if you got somebody above you that knows people, have all those connections, they can put the right people around you and make your job a lot easier.
Well, dude, just to equate it to football, maybe it's a false equation, but when McVay got the job in L.A., people are like, oh, man, he's so young. And I was like, I'm pretty well documented that I think Sean is a super talent. But I also thought he was really smart to bring in Wade Phillips to run the defense.
Hell yeah.
And he immediately brought in like a veteran that was going to run half of the room and just a guy that gave them a difference of gravitas. And I think that's kind of what you're saying Butera did with the bench coach, Zuck. Does that seem kind of comparable?
Yeah, this isn't maybe quite to that extent that a Wade Phillips, where you're talking about a former former big league manager or somebody with like a real name value. But he's been here, done that some, and certainly has more life experience and baseball experience. So I think it does make somewhat of a difference. But I think the other thing to keep in mind here is that you mentioned the analytics part. There's going to be a lot more collaboration, I think, between the front office and the coaching staff. And just because somebody is not maybe designated as part of the official big league coaching staff doesn't mean they aren't going to have a say in things.
Gotcha.
And this may be a broader group of people ultimately that is putting together a game plan and working with these players to get them ready for the game that night.
Talking with our friend Mark Zuckerman from Masson Sports. You can follow Mark at Mark Zuckerman, host of the Nats Chat podcast. So, Zuck, I want to be excited. I really do. But you had an awesome article that I actually read while I was in Madrid, just because to me, I just chase everything goes back. It's like Deep Throat and Watergate. Follow the money, right? And you broke down exactly what's on the Nats payroll right now, and it's nothing. Basically, like there's very, very little there. And I think with what we think may be coming in baseball after this season or after the 26th season with a potential work stoppage, how if at all, aggressive do you think they are this upcoming offseason?
Well, yeah, this is now the next big step in the big unknown. Once they get the coaching staff finalized, let's start talking about what is this roster going to look like and what are they doing this winter to try to make the team better, because clearly there are areas they need to be better at. From a payroll standpoint, as you said, it's very little. If you just look at who's on the major league payroll right now, active players, it's like less than $60 million. That's peanuts. That's nothing. Mm-hmm. Now, some of that is because they have so many young guys who haven't reached arbitration or free agency yet, that they're just naturally going to have low salaries. You know, James Wood, Dalen Lyle, Dylan Cruz, these guys are going to have low salaries, even if they're superstars, because that's where they are in their careers. But we know they have not spent big at all on free agents recently. And the crazy part of it is they're still paying technically on the books for one more year, Steven Strasburg at like $35 million.
That's crazy.
I mean, that counts against their payroll number and their luxury tax number, but that's not money that's actually going on to the roster this year. Now, if they just to get to where they were last year, which was I think $109 million, if I'm remembering right, they have like at least $25 million or so they can spend. So there is some ability, even if they're just going to go back to that level. And it doesn't mean they can't go above and beyond it. Mark Lerner, when he was asked about it at the Tavoni's introductory press conference, he talked around it, but essentially said, we're going to get back to where we used to be, as in the 2010s when they had a top 10 payroll every year. And Paul Tavoni has said that he feels like he's going to have all the resources he needs to build this team the way he wants to. Now, the question is, does that happen now or does that happen later? And I think the evidence would suggest where they are at this point, we're still a young team, knowing that there's a potential lockout a year from now and you don't want to tie yourself up maybe with long-term deals, not knowing what's going to happen a year from now. They're probably not there yet. So, I let's see how this goes. We still don't really have a lot of sense of how they're going to approach this offseason, but my hunch would be that they're still just supplementing what they have right now, and that the big splash, if it's going to come, is probably a year or two away.
I tend to agree with you, Zuck. You obviously know a lot more than me, but I'll never forget the day I read they signed Joey Gallo to a one-year, $5 million deal, and $4 million of it was deferred. And I was like, what are we doing? This isn't Major League Baseball. Gallo couldn't hit. Like, I want these new guys to have a real shot at this. Like, I love Riz. I think Riz built a great organization, and then it was sadly torn down by ownership. I want these dudes to build everything. I just feel like we're talking... How much do you think there will be a real work stoppage in 27? Or do you think they'll be able, like Union and MLB will be able to get something done, and maybe we just miss spring training and stuff, but it's a regular baseball season?
Yeah, I mean, the rhetoric right now is pretty ugly, the way that they're talking about it in advance. But we did see the last time around with this that they had the work stoppage for the whole winter, and it cut into some of spring training. But there came a point where everybody realized, okay, if this goes on any longer, we're not playing 162 this year. Mm. And that means that certainly it's not good for fans or for the state of the sport, but really what matters to both owners and the players, you don't play 162, you don't get paid for 162. You don't get revenue for 162. So when it finally came to push and shove, they got a deal done and they got the whole season in. I would hope that they that's the worst that it gets to this time around, that they do ultimately understand. My biggest concern, at least the way they're talking right now, is that it feels like both the owner side and the union side are more interested in winning whatever this agreement ends up looking like, mm-hmm. as opposed to actually trying to work together on a deal in which neither side is going to be totally satisfied, but you make concessions each way and you end up with something that works in the end. The state of the sport is really good right now.
It's that so good.
It was phenomenal.
It's so
you
good.
You cannot lose that with where things are going right now, and I would hope that when it does come down to it, that all the sides realize that and understand that there's nothing to be gained from losing even one major league game in the 2027 season.
It's real good, but it seems as if these owners want these players to take a lot of cuts to help them out. The owners are the ones spending signing these damn contracts. So why you want the players to help? The players are not going to say, "Oh, we'll take less money."
There's the problem. If your complaint is that salaries are too high, or that, you know, Ohtani's getting too much money, Soto's getting too much money, yeah, do you just want that money going back into the owners' pockets? the money's out there. It's going to go to somebody, either the owners or the players. I think where the issues are going to come in is that, you know, we tend to think of these as these big monoliths, owners and players, and they really aren't, because you have very different kinds of teams. The Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Cubs are in a totally different category than the Pirates, the Royals, the A's, the Marlins. And that's where you're starting to hear talk about a salary cap in an attempt to help the smaller markets, in theory, have a better chance. Now, if that argument's going to fly, I don't know, or not. And the players have always said, no, we won't do a salary cap that goes all the way back to the 90s.
Yeah.
But the other thing with the players is they're not all the same either. And this, to me, the most fascinating part of the last CBA 5 years ago was that the executive board of the players union did not want to agree to the final deal that was on the table. And it was the rank and file players that overruled them and said, no, we need to play. Well, you know why? Because
they got to get their money.
The top guys, the Max Scherzers, they're set for life. They can afford to lose a season. The guys who are, hey, this might be my one chance to be in the big leagues this year, they weren't going to blow that, and they overruled them. So I thought that was instructive, that it's not just about the big name players. There are hundreds and hundreds more of guys who need to play and are probably willing to sacrifice a little more than the big time guys are.
Zuck, we appreciate your time, dude. Thank you.
All right, thank you guys.
All right, Zuck.
All right, that's our guy, Mark Zuckerman. Lot to watch with the Nats. I don't think they're going to spend a dollar till 27. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke.
and a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.